NYPD Blue Balls Season 2, Episode 2, For Whom the Scale Rolls. Nailed it!
Boom, killed it, Kirk.
Also, it's a fun fact, and I found this out very randomly. If you look on IMDb, there is another television show that has an episode title, For Whom the Scale Rolls.
Really? What show is that?
It's the very short-lived TV show, Shark, with James Woods.
Really?
And I guarantee you no podcast is being made about that episode.
Someone needs to sue Shark.
Someone should
just sue James Woods for being alive.
This episode opens with Martens, one of the coolest characters to stay with the show.
Uh-huh.
And he's interviewing one of the guys that was caught last week robbing drug dealers.
In the bathroom.
That was kind of weird. I didn't really get that at all. That was very weird.
I kind of got it. The guy's kind of like, the guy needed a break to use the bathroom and he can't go by himself. So Martens is using a negotiation tactic of like, you know, you got to look out for yourself, man. Where we're at now and shit like that. Like, you know, you're in trouble.
He's playing good cop, kind of.
Yeah.
And then
he tries to bring Kelly into it and Kelly's not having it.
Not having it at all. Another fun fact. I'm throwing fun facts. This is the fun fact episode of season 2. Mm-hmm. I looked up that actor that played that guy that was in the bathroom.
Oh, my guy.
His name is also Kirk.
Really?
His name is Kirk Baltz. And it's not a famous face because you probably won't recognize him from anything. But
Kirk
Baltz. Baltz. But
I was like, Kirk Baltz is in NYPD Blue?
I will tell you this. His four known fours are pretty fantastic movies.
Oh, yeah. He was the cop in Reservoir Dogs.
He was in Dances with Wolves. Also known as Avatar Part 1.
Also known as White Indian.
He was in Natural Born Killers. And
have you ever seen Natural Born Killers?
No, I gotta see it.
Not a fan of it. It was hard to watch. Like, I got in 45 minutes of it. I was like, this is really difficult for me to do.
And then he was also in the fantastic Face Off. That's pretty good credits for a bit part in NYPD Blue. Martens is talking to him. And then Sipowicz is finalizing dinner plans with Costas.
Yep.
And he goes off on IAB. I can't remember exactly what he says, but I know he gets pissed at IAB.
Oh, because they give Caruso a hard time because he doesn't fill it out right. And then Sipowicz goes, well, what about why it's not the same for mine? You didn't say anything about mine, and they filled it out the same. Why you talk? What about, you know, why did you say something to me? And then they start arguing, and then the guy goes, you got dick fists, Sipowicz. Sipowicz goes, look. He goes, well, he says something, he goes, I may got dick fists, but like my fist looks like your face or something like that.
And what's best, basically implying that his face looks like dick.
Yeah.
And then the guy turns around and there's Sylvia and she gives a nod like, yeah, your face looks like dick. Like it's so
weird. She just kind of laughs like, that's why she's the best because she like, she knows, like even though Andy... If I got dick fist, Brigham, my fist looks like your face. that Andy's going to say some shit every now and then. And it's probably going to be right. And it's probably going to be really, like, in the moment. And it was.
Also, like, they basically are arguing back and forth. And the IAB guy implies during that argument before Sipowicz kind of ends it. Well, actually, Fancy ends it because they have a homicide. But...
Yeah.
During the argument, the IAB kind of hints at the idea, well, now we're going to look double hard at Kelly because we can, in light of this trial shit. Yeah. Now we've been given permission to look at your stuff because of the case you caught, so now we're going to.
Yeah.
And I think Martens, even though Martens isn't, like, he's kind of like the only IAB guy that's cool throughout the entire series in ways, he kind of implies to Kelly, like, hey, like, maybe you're dirty.
It's weird. You know who didn't come back? That goofy dude from IAB who plays the bagpipes in a fucking...
Oh, bagpipe gecko.
Cemetery.
Bagpipe gecko doesn't come back.
The Geico bagpipe gecko?
He could save you money on car insurance, and he plays bagpipes in a cemetery.
You may not get this reference, but if you Google him, he looks like the football coach for the Clemson Tigers. Named Dabo Sweeney. when you get a chance, I want you to Google Dabo Sweeney and look at him, and he kind of looks like him. And it made me laugh when I rewatched that episode, because I was like, oh, fuck, Dabo Sweeney acting back in the day. Anyways.
Also, the homicide that they get, that Fancy sends them on, is two black people, a couple, looks like a man and a woman, and the woman's, like, tied up, and they're slashed to shit, and they find a knife and a blood trail that leads outside, and they use this as a moment for Sipowicz to explain to Medavoy they're going to be asking about the ledger that you had Kelly have. It's not cool to say Sipowicz was telling him to lie, but he was.
Oh, yeah. Sipowicz told him to lie, but yeah. Sipowicz basically said, you have protecting Kelly's more important than the truth.
And, I mean, I'll say, this is like the big burning question from this episode that I have. Medavoy and Kelly basically lie. Well, Medavoy basically straight up lies to IAB. And
I don't think Medavoy really lied. Medavoy just didn't tell the truthful part. Medavoy kind of was just like, you know, well, I didn't do my job. That's on me. That's not on Kelly.
There was, because during the interview he has with IAB, which that's like his whole story in this episode. He's bitching about having to do the interview, and Abundondo's like, dude, you stutter. You always sound like you never know what you're doing. You'll be fine.
So I felt for Greg Medavoy in this episode because, like, I get it when, like, we all have our insecurities, and when you tell somebody, like, oh, I don't like the way, like, these shirts make me feel. Like, when I wear this shirt, I feel, like, fat in it, or I feel like they're tight around my stomach, and then someone tells you, like, oh, don't worry about it. Other people are like that too, or people know that about you. It's still in your brain. You're like, yeah, but I'm going to think about it. Like, that's what he's most worried about. And I really felt bad for him because I was like, no, I get that. Like, even though it's on record, they're still going to use that against him, and he has to think about that. And I felt bad for him.
Well, and because they really play with the line of, is he lying? But he does lie directly at a question. During the interview, they ask him, did you ask Kelly for the ledger? And he says, no. If you remember from the episodes where David Caruso has
like
the ledger,
times.
He asks him 5 or 6 times, and he does the, like, he does the bitchiest Medavoy ask, which is like, he walks by his desk and goes, hey, Kelly, I mean, you know, it'd be really nice if you could, like, put in the ledger, because, like, it's my case. And then eventually Kelly, like, basically goes, hey, I'll do it when I fucking do it. And they even asked him in the interview, did Kelly ever express issue of not returning it?
I felt bad for Medavoy because Kelly put him in a bad spot and Kelly didn't give a fuck.
No, didn't give a shit at all.
Kelly knew that it was his ledger, it was Medavoy's job, he was going to do evidence, it was Medavoy's case, and he fucked with it, and he never once apologized to him. Like, during this whole thing, he never once said, like, oh, man, you know, if I wouldn't have done this, you know, we wouldn't be in this jam, or you wouldn't be having to deal with it. I'm sorry about that. He never once is, like, remorseful for what he did.
Sipowicz and Greg Medavoy always kind of had this relationship where, like, Sipowicz is the headstrong one who will, like, muscle through Medavoy's bullshit, but he also will kind of coddle him when Medavoy's, like, really fucked up or really scared.
Yeah.
And he did that for him here, and it wasn't even Sipowicz's thing. It was Kelly's thing. Which it should have been Kelly talking to him about it, but he never does.
Kelly should have pulled him aside at one point and said, do you tell me what you're gonna do. Mm-hmm. Like, you do whatever makes you comfortable, but at least give me a heads up. I put you in this position. This is my fault. All this shit's going down here because of me. It's affecting you. I'm sorry. Let's make sure you're okay. You know what I mean? I just kind of feel like Kelly shafts him and then doesn't give a fuck. No, it's just me.
When it comes to the homicide, like, let's switch gears, because what we're saying over and over is Kelly's fucked up and it's really affecting Greg Medavoy, but it doesn't care. But Greg Medavoy comes out okay because he gives a straight answer and it looks like nobody did anything wrong.
Yeah, he kind of has like a confident moment because he gets through it. He doesn't stutter. And he lies, and he's able to get them to kind of be like, oh, fuck, we don't have that against him, you know?
When it comes to the homicide that they're at, it's really fucked up, but And it's really kind of like an NYPD Blue moment, because I feel like this would only happen in NYPD Blue, where they have this long shot where they're following the blood trail, and then they get to outside, and this woman has these kids, and she's like, oh, I just want to get upstairs, and it just happens to be the woman taking care of the kids of the woman that's dead in the room.
Yeah.
And
it's like, they're like babies. They're like 5 years old. And Sipwitz has got to tell them that, like, oh, your mother and father were hacked to pieces.
And it's really a fucked up situation for everybody involved. But we never talk to those people again.
I mean, other than not being smart, that's the one thing, like, about being a doctor I couldn't do. Is, like,
I just got what you said, because you're like, besides not being smart, and I was like, oh no, are you going to make fun of these black people? And then no. I was like, that would be really racist and fucked up, and then you're like, that's why I couldn't be a doctor. I was like, oh, what? You couldn't tell people that they were going to die, or people died?
Yeah, I couldn't tell people, like, they were dying. I couldn't be that doctor who, like, tells Walter White he has cancer. You know what I mean? Like, I just couldn't do it. Oh, I couldn't be like, yeah, we're going to fight every day and watch someone slowly die, because you can't really stop. You know what I mean? I just couldn't do it.
It's also awkward because Sipowicz is like, he tells the woman and she breaks down. And he's like, pull it together for these kids here. And then she just doesn't. And then he takes the kids so he can tell them. Like, it's a real funny moment, because you could tell, like, Sipowicz was like, okay, get it together so you can tell them so I could work on the case. And then she can't get it together, so then he's like, okay, fuck you, I'll take care of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dark. After that, we cut to Lucchese on the stand, and she does a pretty good job, even though a case could be made either way, it kind of looks like.
Yeah, she does a good job, like, she seems sincere. This is the last episode that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's gone, because she goes to jail.
I think they wanted to prove the point that you, like, the jury could go either way, because the prosecution does provide a pretty good point of, like, how do you live this entire life where you have to be a cop and work for the mob, where you have to plan ahead all your moves, but then the moment it comes down to this moment in a car, you didn't think about killing these people, are you telling me? That never crossed your mind, which is...
No, I think she went with the intentions of something bad happening, but then I also think that she's been around them long enough to know, like, oh, I've been in this situation where he's talked like this or acted like this, and then all of a sudden the person sitting next to me has been shot. And I'm gonna act now. You know what I mean?
But I'm just saying,
I don't know.
I think the scene is set up to make you think, like, oh, well, the like, the jury could go really either way. But that's not even that important, because her story is not as interesting in this episode. What's interesting is Sipowicz gets a tip that this guy was threatening the woman at this party. And his name's Bernard.
Yeah.
And Bernard is awesome. Because he's like a fully realized character of, like, just a dude that was hanging out at his place. And sure, they were partying. And drugs were had. But, like, he didn't do anything wrong. And he has this story about this woman they can't find. And they were watching Star Trek.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a cool little nod, because, like, right now we're celebrating, well, not we all are, but right now it's the 50th anniversary of the original Star Trek, and then he's like, we were watching Star Trek, and then they meet the woman, and Sipowicz to basically double cover the story, because they can't find this woman Bernard's talking about, because Bernard gives a story where he's like, man, I threatened her because she took my money and didn't show up. But we just partied, and then we watched Star Trek with this woman. Like, if you find her, she'll tell you the truth. And then they find her, and he's like, well, what were you watching? She's like, we were watching TV, screwing around. He's like, well, what were you watching? She's like, Star Trek. He likes Spock, and I like LeVar.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the cool things about this show, is they'll let, like, specific things like that, like, show that Sipowicz is on his shit. Like, he knows the questions to ask.
It's a dumb... Yeah. Sipowicz knows some mainstream things, but not a whole lot.
Because he's like, and then when Kelly gets a rundown of what's going on, he's like, they were watching the Star Trek or Starship Enterprise.
Yeah. And then, isn't it? Don't they have him in the car for a while, and then they can't find the guy, so they have to take him to jail?
I think they have him for a while, and then they have to take him to holding and then take him out again, I think.
Yeah, because I think one of my favorite lines is, like, he's like, you know, if we can't find him, we're going to have to take you to holding for the night. And the guy goes, I understand, and so what's this? I'm like, oh, how kind of you, or something like that.
funny. In the middle of all this, Haverhill has a run-in with Kelly, where he basically says, like, get your shit done, and, like, it's obvious that Haverhill's in his ass.
Yeah, and then doesn't Kelly say, I got no place to work?
Yeah, basically, because IAB is all over their shit. And also, while that's happening to Kelly, Dan, who is Peter Boyle, is on Sipowitz's case about running too fast with Sylvia.
Yeah.
Dan's worried that Sylvia is gonna, like, basically take him off the wagon. And I don't know, it's not as much in this one, but Dan's kind of a real dick about it. Like, he doesn't just... He is very concerned, but he's kind of like a douchebag when it comes to showing that he cares.
Yeah.
Because he's like...
He's so into being sober, and, like, he doesn't want anyone to slip up, you know? Cause he kind of, I think, wants Andy to take it as serious as he does. Like, he could never date somebody because he's too scared, so I think he doesn't want Andy to do it. He wants Andy to be, like him and be really into recovery. And so he's just nervous about Andy falling off the wagon.
And it's also one of those things where it seems like he does know what he's talking about, but the way he's executing it is not cool. Because every time he gets challenged by Sipowitz, because Sipowitz is like, hey, I'm following the rules, I just really want to do this, I feel like it's time. And he's like, hey, I got 15 years sobriety here.
Yeah, he keeps throwing that shit in his face. Like, yeah, it's like, anytime he's like a bait, he's like a kid.
And he's like, here's 20. Like, oh, here's 20.
I got more words than you do, bitch. I got more buttons.
And he's like, if you want to speed through this, here's $20. Go buy a bottle now. And it's like, yeah, dude, like.
Like, whoa.
It's almost like.
He said he may not make a meeting. That's okay.
And also, like. And he's also like. He's kind of like a shitty girlfriend or something.
Yeah, oh, he's like. Excuse me, way too overprotective.
After that, or during that, this is when Gardner gives the interview with that woman. It's episode 2. I may have said that in episode 1, but it's episode 2. And basically, I keep saying basically too much. During that, Lukowski's watching it and is like, wow, she's really got
basically
you. Lukowski says, they really got you, John Kelly. Because Gia DeMarco was like saying... I think he was perfectly aware of what was going on.
Yeah, she says she's afraid of the cops and of and the mob. They're all both out to get her
for no reason whatsoever. And then they have closing arguments.
Yeah, this is when Sinclair kills it.
When he gets the room, he just slays the room and like destroys it. And the other guy, I think he did a good job, but he has to be the worst of the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he can't. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he can't give a good performance like Sinclair does.
I felt he did a good job, but yeah. And then after that, Michael Harney, one of your favorite characters, Detective Roberts,
yeah,
shows up in the station, and everyone Fancy fucking hates him. Because
fair enough, I get why Fancy hates him,
and. Kelly has to leave the second he shows up, and Michael Harney basically says, fucking, god damn it, I gotta say something else. Michael Harney tells Sipowitz, hey.
Basically, you should.
Michael Harney, Detective Roberts, tells Sipowitz, I got this tape, Kelly may want it, I owe him a favor, it's Norman Gardner, the guy that's all on his dick about this trial.
But doesn't he have a weird ass name? It's Norman. It's something Grolsch.
Yeah, it's like Norval Grolsch or something.
Yeah, it's still NG for Norman Gardner, but it's like some weird name.
And he likes a headmaster routine, and it's women dressed as schoolgirls, and then he spanks them, and then has sex with them. I guess I don't know,
Yeah, and the best part about what I enjoyed about it is that the way Mike Roberts describes it, he's just like, yeah, so I'm working basically at this prostitute joint, and like, they don't give a fuck. Like Andy and, like they don't go, like, where are you working? What's up? Like, why are you working at a prostitution ring? You're an ex-cop. Like, you should know that that's wrong. And they're just like, oh, cool.
Well, they don't care. Like, because Roberts also goes, hey, Sibwitz, I know you're upset that Dee Dee died and I didn't take care of her dog.
Yeah.
and if Sibwitz actually cared about Roberts, he would have been like, no, I don't like you because you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do with a fucking dog, Roberts. Like, it has to do with you being a terrible person.
Like, Sipowicz knows, like, even though I've probably been one of the most, like, shittier people in the world, I'm still not worse than Mike Roberts. Like, I've done a lot of fucked up things. Drunk, I've said some shit that's inexcusable, I've been racist beyond my wildest imagination, but I'm still not as shitty of a person as Mike Roberts.
Sipowicz uses that tape to blackmail Gardner, played by Bradley Whitford, who's Happy Gilmore fame.
Yeah. And dude, have you seen this picture? It's from Entertainment Weekly. I'll send it to you. And it's a picture of Danny Sorensen, Jimmy Smits, Dennis Franz, and David Caruso now. Like, they did a spread about it or something, and the four of them are walking together. Sorry.
No Mark Paul Gosselaar? No Zack Attack?
No Zack Attack in the picture.
No.
That's weird, because okay, so it's like on someone's blog, but I guess Entertainment Weekly did an NYPD Blue reunion thing. I guess it shows pictures of Franz Caruso, Franz Smits, Franz Schroeder, all partners. But no MPG.
No MPG, no Mark Paul Goss.
I think a lot of people hated Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Well, I mean...
I didn't think he was that bad. I did not think he was that bad.
I mean, he's tied for last with Caruso to me. So,
I think above Caruso, but that's just me.
Norman Gardner is being blackmailed by Sipowicz, where he just shows him the video and says, you're going to back off John Kelly, or I'm going to start circulating this video around.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, Norman Gardner, like, basically on his show goes, hey, this may make me look like an asshole, but John Kelly didn't do anything wrong, and neither did LaCalce.
He does that shit where he's like, I've been privy to some new information. And that, I was wrong, and I'm sorry.
And I turn...
me blame the people I get my information from.
And he turns southern all of a sudden, according to your impression.
He turns into the lady from The Help.
I also would like some sweet tea.
Oh, God. Racist.
What?
There you go, seeing color again.
Then, after that, they get the guy with the help of Bernard. They get the guy who actually did the murder.
Yeah, and he has a crazy confession.
And also, because they're not sure because he's clean. He went to prison for robbery and aggravated robbery. I think aggravated assault and robbery. But he is now clean. He has a parole officer and shit's on the up and up. But he gives this...
He's been at this job for a really long time.
And I wrote down his name. His name's like... Oh, man, I fucked up the spelling, I think. And I want to get his name out there because I feel like he did a good job. His name is Basil Wallace.
Basil?
And he gives, like, the most fucked up monologue about how he went to prison, for like, three times for different robberies. And now he's at this party and some guy insults him.
Makes me feel like... talks to me like I'm a bitch. That's what I remember him saying. The way that he said the word bitch made me laugh.
And admits to, like, tying them up and just stabbing the fuck out of them.
First he was beating them up, and then he's like, then I saw the knife. And then he went farther with it.
And he said, once I pierced their skin, I knew I'd done something bad. These guys are what screwed up my whole life. And I was, like, insane. Absolutely yeah. insane performance.
That was one of my... Because you don't expect it. But he goes from, like, normal to really fucking dark.
Lukowski gets manslaughter, which is 2 years, or 6 months, and then work release, according to Sinclair.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you notice who was the court clerk reading?
No.
The court clerk, played by John F. Donahue, he's a famous face because he reappears on NYPD Blue as Eddie Gibson.
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot.
In
the episode where Sipowicz's son gets arrested for drug possession, the captain behind the desk ends up being a different guy that comes back.
Yeah, I heard his voice and I was like, that guy is familiar, and it's Eddie Gibson. We're gonna see him in later episodes, a bunch of them, because he's kind of important in later episodes.
Yeah, I remember him.
Lukowski gets manslaughter, so she's gonna be living easy, but has to go to prison for a little while. And
yeah, like their last line together is like, "Do you know the way upstate?"
Which is weird.
Like, what? So weird. Just so weird.
And then they awkwardly kiss, and then the credits roll. It's like, "Do you know the way upstate? I'm gonna go to prison." And that's Lukowski's last episode. Amy Brenneman's last episode of NYPD Blue. If you're looking for more of Amy Brenneman, she also played the mom in Casper for one scene.
She's also on a TV show called Judging Amy.
Oh, really? Is it just a bunch of people judging her acting skill?
Well, no, that TV show was on for a really long time. She's also in The Leftovers. Damn.
Oh, Leftovers is supposed to be really good. I need to watch that.
She did a bunch of episodes of Robot Chicken.
What, for reals? Robot Chicken's pretty cool.
Damn, dude, we were hating... Dude, Judging Amy was on from 1999 to 2005. Bitch has been working solid since 93.
Whatever, bro.
She did some Robot Chicken, she did some Grey's Anatomy.
Well, everybody did some Grey's Anatomy. I mean,
she did some Private Practice. Now she's on The Leftovers. Dude, she's been working solid. Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. It wasn't just Lukowski for Amy Brenneman.
Good for Amy Brenneman. Still doing it.
Some may say she's doing better than Caruso.
I don't know, dude. NCIS Miami money, though?
CSI Miami. You're mixing up your letters.
I just added an N. I didn't need to.
He's on CSI Cyber Miami.
That's CSI money, though. He's probably rolling in that CSI money.
Would you say he's...
When they wrote CSI, they were like, I got a good idea. Let's just get David Caruso to play John Kelly, and we'll just... And then we can just write, like, a rip-off fucking... NYPD Blue in Miami. We'll just give them bright colors. I feel like that's Miami's only contribution to the world, is just, like, making everything neon.
You have anything else to say about this episode?
No. No, you just kind of see, like, the same thing as the first episode. They're really starting to squeeze in on Caruso.
Well, this episode kind of...
giving him any slack. They're, like, all up in his grill.
This episode kind of lets off on Lukowski, though. It gives the idea that they're going to leave Lukowski alone. She's going to go to prison. And maybe it'll blow over for him because it's shown that he's done nothing wrong in the court case. However, in this episode, in Havril's face, he says, you take a couple tests, you kiss a couple asses, and you think you're a boss.
Well, because the guy who helps them, Havril's pissed that he wasn't registered as a informant, and so he wants the guy arrested for the original crime that they arrested him for, because they flipped him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They said, if you help us with this, we won't arrest you for this. And Havel's like, you can't do that, you can't make that choice, blah, blah, blah. And so that's when he gives him that speech, and then he's like, let him go, I got what I needed, or something like that. I'm going to bury you, or something.
He just says, yeah, I got what I needed, and then, yeah, he's a dick. Havel's a dick.
But you notice, like, only douchebags say that.
I got what I needed?
Yeah, like, only douchebags, after they get, like, ripped apart, go, oh, yeah, yeah, just let that happen. I got what I needed. I'm good to go. Like, it's like, oh, so you just lost.
NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, as well as every episode of the Astro Brothers Podcast. The show will now be coming out every other Tuesday. And if you are upset by that, just go to AstroBrothersPodcast.com and listen to old episodes. We talked about NYPD Blue all the time back in the day and other random stuff. Like Gene Wilder in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's a good episode. Go listen to it. We're also on Twitter, Astro Bros Pod, and Astro Bros Podcast on Instagram. And thanks for listening.